Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Be with our young people downstairs. The Word of God being taught. Be with our teachers, Christina and Kathy and Darlene and Sharon, as they open the Word of God. Love on the young people there, Lord. Encourage them. I pray seeds will be planted, Lord, for the gospel for young people that are not saved. Seeds will be planted about full-time service. Lord, they see the workers down there and say, wow, I want to do that one day. Oh, boy, maybe God can use me in working with young people or teens. And Lord, I pray that from our group of Kids for Truth, we would see future preachers, evangelists, missionaries, pastors' wives, and folks who serve you, Lord, even if it's just in the church full-time. We thank you for that. Thank you for each one that's here tonight on a dark, sort of cold night here, Lord. Yeah, but I pray that we'd be wide awake, ready to go, eager to get in the Word of God, eager to pray with one another, Lord. What a blessing to be part of a church, a body of Christ, where we can pray in person with believers, Lord, and share burdens, share praises, pray together before the Lord. Lord, we thank you for that privilege we'll have tonight. We ask your blessing on all that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have a seat there, find your place, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 will be in the New Testament, mostly toward the back of the New Testament tonight. Should be a pew Bible handy. If you slipped in and left yours in the car or left it at home, just grab one of those pew Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to say thank you to Pastor Cremard for preaching last Wednesday night. He was up here preaching while I was down preaching and taking the young people, all right, with the teens downstairs last week. Should I put you teens on the spot? What did I preach on? I see three teens here tonight. We had 10 last week. We lost 7. What's that? I'm not sure. I don't remember myself. All right, no. But we had a good time, a good group of teens down there last week. I appreciate Pastor. Pastor, I did get a chance to listen to your message, all right, making sure he was preaching it straight, sound doctrine, all right. I got to listen to that because I heard him reference a biography that I highly recommend, all right. I heard him use the illustration, Letourneau, all right. And if you like to read, and many of you do, and I love that, and a lot of you will say, hey, I heard you mention that book. I bought it, all right. And so this is one of my top biographies. It's not a Christian missionary. It's not a preacher. This is just a layman. But if you were here last Wednesday, you might have heard Pastor reference R.G. Letourneau, the man that once he came to know Christ, began to tithe 10%, and then went up to 90%, all right. Whoa, 90%. And there's a college in Texas called Letourneau College. It used to be a fundamental Christian college. I wouldn't recommend it anymore, but it's still down there. But my only negative with this book is this is the only size it comes in. It's way too small. It's real small print. I wish they would reproduce it and make it a little larger print. I gave this to one of my son-in-laws last year, I think. And it's a great biography. It's not your typical one where we're talking about a man that's world famous. All right, you may not know the name, but world famous with some of the largest earth-moving machines in the world. Anybody that's involved in big stuff, all right, I mean, this is one of the guys that invented half the stuff and did almost anything, all right, and many of the machines today, I mean, massive ones, he had a part in. And so it's interesting how he came to know Christ and what God did in his life just as a layman in the church. And so Pastor referenced that. I wanted to show that to you there. Got that in my office. It'd be an easy one. You can get this one pretty inexpensive, probably $5-$6, even new or used through Amazon, thrift books, those kind of things. Great biography. All right, looking for a Christmas gift for someone, especially a dad or a husband, something like that, it would be great. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, my only issue with Pastor is he was supposed to preach on all the crowns, all right? And he said, I heard how he finished. He said, well, we didn't get to him. He said, Pastor Boer's going to get to him next week. Well, that's not true. That might be next week, all right? But I didn't base my message on where he ended up. I just was working on mine. I said, I want to listen a little bit. He had told me a little bit of what he was talking about there. So I'm not doubling up on his, but did a good job. I appreciate. God says through Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, now here's the phrase we're going to come back and look at. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. I'm not going to say to you, what do you think that means? All right. I want to ask you, what does it mean? There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. There's a lot of meat in that verse. And not to me only, but unto all them, obviously we're speaking of believers, also that love his appearing. And
That word, that love, has the idea there in the Greek of have loved, continue to love, continuing to love. Greek of have loved, continue to love, continuing to love. Not just a one-time thing. What does that mean? What does God mean? There is laid up for me. Laid up. We're going to come back and look at that. Now, if you'll go to 2 John, these verses are all very familiar. I've already spent time on these several times in the last few months on Wednesday nights. Many of you are familiar with these through just reading through the Bible, studying, hearing preaching on it. 2 John, almost toward the back. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You're going to go to 2 John. Not John 2, but 2 John. All right, 2 John, verse number 8. And for those of you who have been saved for 15 years or more, if I assigned you the verses we're going to read tonight, I said, now I want you to teach on those. I want you to take the verses we're looking at tonight. You've been saved at least 15 years. Okay, you need, I'm going to give you a group of new believers. I want you to teach. Ladies, you're going to a group of 10 new believers, men, and I want you to teach on those three verses. So that's what I want in the back of your mind. What does that mean? There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What does this verse mean? 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You may remember that when we went through the book of 2 John. Now again, making sure we properly interpret Scripture. This is written to Christians. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. And I'll explain these a little bit later. But that we receive a full reward. So what does that mean? If I say, what do you think that, not what do you think it means. Well, I think it means this. What does that mean? A full reward. So we're considering a couple sentences. Laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What does that mean? We receive a full reward. What does that mean? And then Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Again, a verse that we have looked at repeatedly, but we're going to look at it again. Revelation 3, verse 11. Now, I understand that this is speaking to a church, an angel of the church, pastor, Church of Philadelphia. Application certainly could be made, though. Verse 11, Revelation 3, 11. The words of Jesus, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Now here's the third line. That no man take thy crown. Now, I wouldn't expect you just to get those phrases and teach on them tonight. I would want you to do some studying on that, obviously. Searching the scriptures first, not just opening commentary or Googling something. What do those phrases, what does that mean? There's laid up for me, laid up. Lose not. Receive a full reward. Let no man take thy crown. We're looking at tonight receiving a full reward. We're looking at crowns. We won't be specifically tonight getting quite into the crowns, four or five, however you want to look at those. We will in future Wednesdays, but receiving a full reward. What does that mean? I've looked at, pastors looked at. We know the Bible repeatedly talks about rewards. We can use the word interchangeably. Award. We use the word award a lot today. There's awards given at the end of the school year. There's a sports banquet. They give awards. Your business may give an award. Maybe they have an end of the year and they give out awards. A reward, award, similar. Maybe not exactly the same, but the same word we can use interchangeably. Crowns. Specifically mentioned in the scriptures. Repeatedly, the Bible talks about rewards. One of the most famous verses in the New Testament, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Anybody remember the last phrase? That He is a rewarder of them that diligently sleep. And now we know not every time the Bible says reward, it's not necessarily talking about maybe a physical crown, what we think of today as a plaque or a trophy, you know, as we think of it. We know it's not always referring to a physical DNA. Obviously, there's many spiritual rewards, many things that God gives that are far better than a physical reward or money or fame. We know that. All right, so we understand that. However, the Bible makes it clear that God is a giver of awards and rewards. He's a generous giver. He gives those. And so we know that. And so as we consider all that as a believer, and Pastor alluded to this, and I mentioned it a few weeks ago, how do we balance the fact that the Bible talks about reward and loss, and the Bible talks about specific crowns, and that we're challenged to run and to press toward the mark and to finish? Are we to sit around thinking about the crowns every day? Does that not seem wrong? Are we supposed to even live the Christian life that way? You know, wouldn't that be wrong motive? Couldn't we get things in front of us and reverse it? We think of Matthew 6:33. Many of you, again, can quote it, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, referring to what was mentioned earlier in the chapter, what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall clothe yourself, things that we worry about and fret about, all these things shall be added unto you. Well, now, do we sit around every day? Should we, as a Christian, thinking about, well, all these things God can add to me, so I'm going to do this and do this and do this, and God, you better see this, and I know you see it. Well, no, we'd say, no. That verse, we just need to seek God. We just need to put him first and pursue him. Everything else will take care of itself. We don't want to pursue all things, because then we probably won't have the Lord first. So it is easy to reverse these. We know that there's rewards to be gained. We know that the Lord's going to give them. We know we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, which was the verse Pastor started with last week. We know that. But how do we balance, you know, do we wake up every day, okay, now here's the five crowns. I want to gain these. I hope I get these. Well, no, because we know that would we'd not be very effective. We'd be thinking about what we could gain, and therefore we wouldn't be a very good servant or child of God. So let me just illustrate as best that I can. I'm sure it's not a perfect illustration. I'm sure that others could give ones, but I hope that this will help make sense here, what we're talking about, all right? So before I do that, let me go back. You're in Revelation. Let's go back, and before I get ahead of myself, let's go back and look at the three references we looked at. So back to 2 Timothy. We're going to just look at the three references. 2 Timothy 4, 2 John 8, Revelation 3:11. So let's just briefly look at those, and then I want to give an illustration that I hope will help. Fourth, there is laid up for me. Laid up. Paul says at the end of his life, he's approaching martyrdom. He's finished. He knows that his time is short on earth, that the course, the race, the life God had for him is coming to a conclusion. He knows that, and he's ready. He's finished his course. He's fought the fight. He's kept the faith. Lord's going to receive him. But he says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, a crown. He talks about the Lord, the judge. Who's going to be the judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be righteous. He's going to give me at that day, a specific day. But not just to the Pauls of the world. Well, who could be the Apostle Paul? Wow, no one's going to achieve what he achieves. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And obviously that's a key phrase to understanding the verse. What exactly does that mean, love his appearing? Well, we're not getting into that tonight, but I want to look at laid up. That phrase laid up for me simply means very much exactly what it says. It means reserved, appointed. It awaits me. There's laid up. Almost, is that in advance? There's laid up, there's reserved or appointed or awaiting me a crown of righteousness. 2 John 8, you have it marked so I can flip to it a little quicker. Maybe you've got to wrestle some pages. 2 John, look to yourselves that we lose not those things. Lose not, has the idea, it says destroy not, to perish or to be marred. That we, as believers, now again, depending on, as we're looking at in Sunday school, we just started last week, adult Sunday school, talking about hermeneutics and dispensational theology, covenant, you know, depending on, a lot of people will take scripture verses, especially ones dealing with the kingdom, and apply wrongly. A lot of people would probably look at verse 8 and say, that's talking about you're going to lose your salvation. We're going to lose that. We've got to keep on, keep it on. Well, we know doctrinally, I hope, that's a fundamental thing that you're settled on, that you cannot lose your salvation. That is settled. Everlasting life. So obviously this verse 8 is a warning to believers that we can lose things. We can't lose our salvation. That's impossible. We did nothing to gain it. all right? It was all by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we received that. But so what is it that we can lose? That we lose not those things which we have wrought. That word wrought is work, labored for, toiled, working for the Lord, ministering, serving. That we lose not the things which we have wrought, we have labored and toiled for the Lord. Lord, we've done these things, not to gain reward, but we've just done them out of love, but that we receive a full reward. That word full reward just means exactly what it says, a full and complete reward. All that God has for us, we receive it. But there's a warning for believers that it is absolutely possible to lose reward, to not be able to gain what the Lord would give us, all right? And then we see that last one, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3 here, interesting wording. Behold, I come quickly. I come suddenly. I come at any moment. Hold that fast, which thou hast. Notice the wording. You have it. You have it. Hold fast. Just what it means. Seize with strength. Grab a hold of. Claim it, grab it, which you possess, that no man, literally no one, nothing, takes your crown or gains possession of it. So we could get into schematics and get into deep here, but I think it's obvious. There are rewards to be gained. There are crowns to be gained. The Lord will stand before him. He'll be the righteous judge. But there are crowns and rewards that we can not gain. We can lose. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, here's my illustration as best I can give it. So I went to Mount Calvary Christian School in Elizabethtown. It's still there. Not a fundamental school or church anymore, but it was in the day, a great church, independent, fundamental, very mission-minded, great preaching back when I was growing up and all of that. And just like a lot of Christian schools, went out for JV basketball, first time playing basketball, eighth grade, JV basketball. Now, if it's a small Christian school, there's no difference. It's all one team, just we need you. All right, you know, you'd be in sixth grade, be on the varsity, all right, so Christian school, sometimes even fourth grade. I was talking to Lane Jones at the Pastor's Fellowship. I said, have you started your team yet? And he said, yeah, he's got a couple fourth graders on the JV team. Now, that's tiny, all right? Some fourth grade boys, I mean, they probably can be blown over, all right? He said, yeah, they're little guys, but man, they're on the team. We're just starting to practice, all right, homeschool basketball team. And so in eighth grade, I went out. You could only go out for the JV team, which was seventh and eighth grade, made the team. Then when you got the ninth grade, that was where it ramped up. Ninth through 12th grade, that was varsity only, all right? Now, today, you can, ninth grade, you could play both, most schools. But back then, our school, ninth grade, you had to go out to tryouts, you know, a couple days of tryouts a week. And then, you know, if you had 20 guys, coach was going to keep 12 or whatever he's going to keep. So you had to work hard, you know, and then when he's going to write the list, and you got to go see if your name's on it. So I remember going out, and what was my goal in ninth grade? My goal was to be a starter. No, because there were a lot of guys, veteran guys that were a lot better than me and been on the team. My goal is just to make the team. All right, I want to make the team. I hope I make the team. And you know what? I made the team. Woo-hoo! All right? And I might have started a game or two when the one guy got hurt. And I was probably sixth or seventh man off the bench. Not much, but hey, I got some play. I was on the team, man. That was awesome. Now, when I went to 10th grade, what was my goal? Well, it was still to make the team. I wasn't going to take it for granted, but I wanted to be a starter, all right? Now, that was going to be somewhat tricky because we had four seniors that were real good, all right? So there's only really one spot. And, hey, what was my goal? My goal was not to, my goal wasn't in 10th grade. I want to be the MVP this year, man. Now, you might say, well, you should have had that. That's low goals. I wanted to be all state. I wanted to get a scholarship. No. I wanted to see if I could start, play a lot of games. Now, when I got to 11th and 12th grade, those seniors were gone. They moved on. They were a great group of guys there. And in fact, we lost to Westchester that year in the Triple A. Dr. Griffith's team, they had a much bigger school, but they beat us pretty good in Triple A. But, hey, my 11th, 12th grade year, I had some different goals. I didn't take it for granted I was going to make the team and be a starter, but I mean, as long as I didn't goof around, I was going to make the team and be a starter. My goals in 11th and 12th grade were to be the best player on the team. And these are personal goals, not team goals, all right? Be the best player on the team and to make All-State, if possible, my last 2 years. And now our coach, Coach Powell, he had separate goals, all right? He would meet during practice, guys are doing, he'd call you over, have a little 5-minute session. He'd give you a 4x5 card, 4x6 card. He'd have your name on it. He said, now here are my goals for you. This is what I think you're capable of. And I still remember that. I don't have them, I don't think anymore. I remember, he said, 11th grade, he said, now look, you're one of the leaders in the team now. You're capable of 17 points, 8 rebounds, blah, 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 blah. All right, and I kept that on my mirror all year during basketball season. That's what coach expects of me. Now, did I go into every game saying, I got to get 17 points, man. I've got to get 17 points. Coach said, 17 points, that's my goal. And so to the whole game, am I thinking 17 points? All right, I got two more left to go. No. Now, I had an overall goal and knowing that there were some goals, and I had some goals, but I didn't go into every game thinking that. And then, of course, my senior year, yeah, we had team goals, try to win state, try to make all these things and be all state and get all tournaments and all those kind of things. But I had goals. And I remember coach giving me higher goals my senior year. You're the senior, boom, here's the, whoa, I didn't know if I could achieve those. All right. But those are good to shoot for. Now, here's my series of questions. Did I know that there was going to be a sports award banquet at the end of the year? Yes. Our school always did that. Most schools do. I knew there was going to be a sports award banquet at the end of the year in the gym. Uh-huh. Did I know that the coaches were going to give out awards? I did know that. I knew that. My sister was older. I'd been to a few of those. I knew that the coaches would get up there and they talk about the season. And then I knew that the coaches give out awards. I mean, I knew that. I knew all of that, all right? I knew that sometimes they give out a MVP or most improved or the coaches award or coaches, maybe they want to give a defensive award or best offensive or whatever. And in fact, one of my favorite awards I ever got was ninth grade. I didn't even expect to get one, but I got the Hustle Award. Now, you might say, well, that's one of those they just give to people to make you feel good, all right? Here you go, buddy. But, boy, I didn't even know that they gave that award out. I wasn't even seeking it, you know? I guess this coach thought, hey, show a lot of hustle and practice, and woohoo, you know? Hey, and that's, I didn't shoot for that. I didn't even know I was going to get that. Now, did I want to win an award? Yes, I think I did. I think, yeah, who wouldn't want to win an award? I mean, I knew that there were awards given. I knew that there would be an award banquet. I knew that there would be people who would get rewards and awards, but I knew not everybody got one. I mean, I was aware of all those kind of things, absolutely. Now, did I keep a list of awards on my mirror? Huh? MVP, most improved. I didn't keep any of those. I knew that oftentimes those were given. And again, each sport's a little bit different. Some soccer and baseball, more players, you give out more awards. But to basketball, 5 or so was an award. Now, did I ever think about the awards when I went to our 2-hour practices, sometimes 3 with Coach Powell, former Marine? No. As I was doing suicides or bear crawls, or we were doing free throws and three-man weave full court, did I ever in my mind think, I got to get some awards? Never. Never. Now, I knew there were awards, and I knew we'd have it at the end of the year, but I never really thought about it on Saturday when we had practices. Did I ever think about awards during games? I'm playing games. I'm jogging up and down. Hey, I hope I'm getting this award. I hope I'm going to get the MVP. Never. I don't think I ever thought about an award. I was thinking of that game, trying to win, whatever happens. Sometimes you get done with the game, you don't even know how many points you scored. You don't even know what happened. I remember Nate Ober, good friend of mine. He set the school record for points. We played this team, West Shore, and at the game, we didn't even know how many points. And coach goes, you just scored 51. We're like, what? You'd think you would know 51. No, we had no idea. All right, 50. He had 51 points. I like blew up. Wow, Nate didn't know it. Nobody in the team knew it. You're just playing. All right, you're just playing. When it's over, you're like, I can't believe that. Wow, that's a great job. Nate's like, I didn't even know I did that. All right, we didn't either. You're just playing the game to win and having a good time. Now, but I still knew that there would be awards at the end of the year, and I knew there would be an award ceremony, and I was hoping maybe to get an award or two, and I definitely. Now, did I know that not everybody got rewards? I did. I'd never seen everybody get an award. Doesn't mean everybody didn't do good, but they didn't give everybody one. Now, I remember that years later when I became a coach, obviously. Then I'm a coach, and I'm the one formulating awards, and I'm trying to think of who am I going to give to and what do I want to honor and who was the coach's award, which is oftentimes character and spiritual and a servant and a testimony award. And sometimes that's hard to do. And sometimes you say, boy, I really like to give everybody an award. Now there's times you're like, no, I'm pretty confident they're not going to get one. Now, could I, as a member of the team, have had a great year, had an award laid up for me, and yet, toward the end of the season, I mean, could I have just had one of the greatest years of all time, been a blessing to the coach, and that the coach, in the back of his mind, which is what coaches do, with a couple weeks left, say, all right, I'm thinking about my awards coming up here. I'm pretty confident Dwayne's going to get this, or Nate's going to get this, or Jason's going to get this, and it could change. Is it possible that I could have done some things, or not done some things, or bad attitude, disobedience, poor choices, lost that reward? Yeah, absolutely. I could have, and I had players that I was planning to give an award to as a coach, not get it. just because, didn't finish well. There were some things there that really kept them from gaining what I had already sort of planned for them to have. Could I have given that award to someone else? Yes. Yes, and I did on several occasions. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, I told you we'd probably not be in any other passages. This will be the last passage. Would you flip back with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you may be in Revelation. I don't know where you're at. You may be in Timothy. But would you turn your Bibles back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's see if the Bible would give some credence to my illustration. Again, my illustration is not perfect in that respect, but I hope it calls you to think a little bit. It is possible to lose a reward that was coming to you. It is possible to not gain it. But in reality, very few. Now, are there some people, I suppose, that are driven only to get an award? Of course. Are there some people that maybe the only reason they even do anything is just to be seen of men? Of course. And you work with people like that. Maybe you've done that. Or you just to do it to get a bonus? Of course. But we know that doesn't make a very good worker. You've got the wrong goal in mind. We're just to serve the Lord and do it cheerfully, and then the Lord graciously and generously gives us above and beyond. We're not to just be focused on an award or the crowns and the crowns and the crowns and the crowns. Or to be focused on, Lord, I just want to love you. I want to serve you day by day. And, you know, pray, hey, do I know one day the Lord is going to give awards? The Bible says it. Do I know I'm going to stand before him one day? Yes. Do I hope to be able to hear? Yes. But I'm not really going to focus on that. All right? I'm just going to do what God says. Seek him first. Honor him. And you know what? When the Lord gives those out, he's a generous God. Wow. Maybe I'm not going to deserve it. Anyways, what does 1 Corinthians chapter 3 say? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with me at a few verses here as we wind it up tonight. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise man build upon this foundation, verse 12, gold or silver or precious stones or wood, hay, stubble, verse 13. Every man, this is talking about believers, every man's work shall be made manifest. It shall be fully revealed, is what manifest means. Here it is. For the day, there's the day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the, that's talking about hell. No, not talking about hell at all. And the fire shall try or test or prove every man's work of what sort it is. There's the key. What sort it is. Now look at these last two verses, verse 14. If any man's work abide or remain after the fire, after it's been tested by the burning, any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? He shall receive a what? He shall receive a reward. Look at the next verse, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. Oh, that's talking about losing. No, not about anything about losing salvation. It's talking about your work. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, rescued, yet so as by fire. Not any danger of losing what you cannot lose, salvation, but you can lose reward. You can lose what God has for you. You can lose what a generous, gracious, giving Lord has for his children who serve him faithfully with joy on what God says, not doing it to expect anything from God, but doing it out of a love for God, that when we stand before him and the Lord said, oh, we're going to test now, it may look really good. I've preached on this. I'm sure pastors preached on this repeatedly over the years. And it may be impressive. Everybody thinks, well, they're going to get a whole lot. Well, we don't know that. The Lord's going to see what sort it is. And I'm going to do it. Brother Fry often does this. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Servant's Heart. Have you been to these when he does this? Okay. He often will do this for Director's Hour. I don't know if he does it every year. But he's done it several times there where he'll give an illustration of this. I think I've done it once in youth work. But get a barrel or bucket or something and put a whole bunch of stuff in it. And we might be impressed with the one. In fact, the one may be overflowing. And the other one, you may not have a whole lot in it. And you and I look at that, and we're like, whoa, they're going to get a lot of reward. We say, whoa, not so quick. We have to try it, test it. And both of them, you throw the fire, and we got to wait. Now let's see what's left. It may look impressive, like, wow, look at all that they did. Whoa, we're going to test it. We're going to see what sort it is. And then when it's over, wow, there wasn't any, well, that full one was just a lot of wood, hay, stubble, straw, nothing really, only a little bit in there. Now, the other one didn't have as much in it, but look what's left. It's got gold and silver. It's things that remain. And then based on that, there we go. There's some will have reward, some will suffer loss. Some will have shame, tears. Not in danger of losing eternal life, but our work shall be proved. So, in the Christian life, in the Christian race, are there rewards and crowns to be gained? Absolutely. The Bible speaks a lot about it. Are we to keep that in front of us every minute of every day? No. I think if we did that, we'd get way off track. We'd become pretty selfish and serving for wrong motive. We would definitely receive loss if all we were doing was trying to achieve. We'll probably be doing it to be seen of men rather than the Lord. But are we to be aware that there are rewards and rewards? Absolutely. Or the Lord wouldn't mention that, and there wouldn't be crowns specifically mentioned. But are we to be striving for those? Not necessarily, but I press toward the mark for the prize. So run that you may obtain. But as my illustration gave, you're so grateful God saved you. You're so thankful to be in God's family. It's such a privilege that God has allowed you and given you a gift or gifts to serve. And we want to serve faithfully with our eyes on the Lord, seeking Him first. Wow. So that we're not even really thinking of that. We're just enjoying the Christian life and all that God has. Yes, resisting temptation, enduring testing, looking for His return, but sharing the gospel, helping out. Wow. And then when we stand before Him one day, no danger of God saying, go to hell. Not absolutely ridiculous. It's a judgment seat of Christ. It's for believers. But our work is going to be tested. It's going to be proved of what sort it is. At that moment, there'll be those who suffer loss, loss of reward. There'll be those who receive and gain gift, awards from the Lord. So, as we wrap it up tonight, we think of those verses. Paul said, there's laid up for me. I don't know all that that means exactly. Reserved, appointed. The Lord has it. Wouldn't any father with their own children? Wouldn't you as a father just plan and desire to give your children rewards equal? I mean, wouldn't you just say that would be the heart of me as a father of my three daughters, that I would just say one day, you know, whatever, they're gonna get all this if the Lord, great, I want to give it to you. I desire you to have it. I look forward to doing that, and I'm planning on doing it. That's already planned. I've got it ready and reserved. But I suppose that they could, just as I could. They could lose that for whatever reason. Now, as a disobedient child, as one that could bring harm to the name of the Lord. I mean, there's ways to do that. Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only. But then we have the warnings of 2 John. See that we lose not, receive a full reward, the complete thing that God has for us. And hold fast that which thou hast. Let no man, no one take thy crown. May we be faithful. That's the key, right? Be faithful. Let's not be seeking all the things that God has and looking for. No, let's just seek the Lord and pursue Him with all our heart. The fire is going to test much of it. It's going to be motive. Motive. Why are we here? Why do we serve? Why do we sing? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? It's going to see what sort it really is. What was done for the honor and the glory of the Lord. We'll start looking at some specific crowns that the Bible mentions. We may not know all exactly of what the Bible says about them, but some of them the Bible gives some pretty details about. So we'll look at some specific crowns and awards that could be gained by the believer. But what's the challenge tonight? Well, we'll see that we receive a full reward. That we lose not that which we have toiled and labored for, that we can stand before the Lord not ashamed, but the Lord receives the glory. That we have the privilege to love and serve Him as a child with a father in His household. All right, we're going to...